Well, let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, I ask that as we turn to your word, you would help us just to learn from you and to know what to respond to and how to put it into practice in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. One of the things I found about retirement is that you notice more. Maybe when I was working and it was rushing here, rushing there, meeting there and meeting this, you know, I one time counted up, being asked by my elders to do so, that I had 435 meetings in the year. And they were gobsmacked. And I said, that doesn't include Sunday worship. And they were a bit more gobsmacked. You rush from meeting to meeting, from activity to activity, and you don't notice. And now that I'm retired, just get the opportunity to notice things about nature, the garden that we have, the things that are growing, and the animals and creatures around. And one of the things that I think is a miracle that happens every day that we probably just take for granted is that the sun rises without fail and pushes back the darkness. And when day is done, it's never entirely completely dark because the moon is there to guide us and direct us by light. I think that's a miracle of God's provision day after day. And maybe we often take for granted the miracles around us in our world and maybe even the miracle of our own existence. As I get older, I instead of worrying about the things that are going wrong, I actually begin to think about all the things that are going right. There's one list is maybe getting bigger than the other. But, you know, our lives and our world are miracles of God's creation. And the importance of what we read earlier in Genesis chapter 1 is it helps us understand our Creator. It helps us understand our world and the people who populate the earth. And it helps us to better understand who it is that we look at in the mirror every day. Francis Bacon, an Irish-born British figurative painter, died in 1992, and he wrote this depressing thing, and I quote, "Man now realizes he is an accident, that he is a completely futile being, that he has to play out the game without reason. Man can only attempt to beguile himself for a while. All art has become a game by which man distracts himself," end quote. How depressing is that? The idea that you and I are only here by chance and that our purpose in life is to find distractions that will make life bearable actually robs life of its meaning and of its purpose as God intended it. And Genesis teaches the opposite of Bacon's worldview. We are created beings. We are people with purpose, meaning, a future, and a hope. And this morning, I want to simply share some thoughts with you about our humanity. And here's the first thing. Mankind is unique. Surely, two of the most important verses in Scripture are Genesis 1, 26 and 27. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Here are words of the first importance for us in life. People are unique in creation for a variety of reasons. The way we were created. And Genesis 1, 27 is elaborated on, I think, very significantly in the next chapter, chapter 2 and verse 7. And this is what it says. "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being." Now, this is significant. Human beings were created differently from the animals. You may have heard some rather bizarre stories of young people wanting to identify as furries or as an animal. And there is a kind of thing in our society and our culture, because we've moved further and further away from God and His truth, where people see themselves as being part of the animal kingdom. But the Bible says we're created differently from the animals. God did not breathe into the nostrils of animals, and human beings only came alive when God breathed His life into them. In other words, human beings were created different from and separate from the animals, created uniquely, and incidentally, this is partly why we say the Bible teaches that human beings have souls, but animals do not. So the way we were created is different. And then Genesis 1 tells us who we were created like, and it's also vitally important. However, we get our heads around this. Genesis 1, 26 says, "Let us make man in our image." Who was God talking to? Let us make God man in our image. Here is the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit having a conversation within the Trinity, however you understand that, and it was agreed that man and woman would be created. And so we're reminded that in the totality of our being, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, we reflect something of who and what God is. Being created in the image of God has enormous implications for us. It should inform our attitudes to things like abortion and disability and euthanasia. How dreadful, as I referred to it earlier, that our government has in England and Wales now decriminalized abortion beyond the 24 weeks limit right up until birth. Now, I know this is a very sensitive issue, and I just want to say something without actually commenting on it. One of the privileges of my pastoral life was that I was involved with a family where the mother was pregnant and her health was so in danger that she was going to lose her life. They said, "We have to have a cesarean section and deliver the child she was carrying." 21 weeks of birth, conception. And I saw that little baby born by cesarean section, 1 pound, 1 ounce, and kept in an incubator in the Royal for the rest of the duration, up to the 40 weeks time. And he's through university, he's finished work now, and are working away, a healthy, normal child and young man. So I just put that out there as a comment. I have also had the privilege of ministering to people at the end of life, and sometimes when it comes to the euthanasia debate, people get very, very uptight, and you can't help but be moved by the stories of people who say that their loved ones had a very difficult end. But all I would comment on is that in over 40 years of ministry, and particularly through the work of the hospice movement, I've never seen anybody really have that awful, awful end, because so much can be done to help people control pain and so forth. But these are very sensitive issues, and I'm just very lightly touching on them, which is not a very good thing to do, perhaps. But you see, I think Genesis 1 is absolutely relevant to the fact that if we're made in the image of God, then everybody deserves protection, and especially the most vulnerable. And if we're made in the image of God, it should inform our attitudes to racism. Christians should never discriminate against anybody of a different race or ethnic origin, as all are made in God's image. There is no superior race, just one human race. And it affects our attitude to sectarianism. Dare I say, the other sides, as we call them in Ulster. And the Bible would actually say to us that green is no less made in God's image than orange, and vice versa. It challenges our attitudes to the poor, to migrants, to human trafficking, indeed our attitudes to employment and social issues like